This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's just gone past 9:35 a.m. this Friday morning, meaning that it's now time for The Property Show. I'm Azura Rahman, and this week we are focusing on the topic of the Bumiputra property backlog. State legislation requires all developments to have a quota allocated towards Bumi owners, and these units also come with a discount. Apart from that, there is also the creature that is Malay reserve land, which can only be bought and sold by Malays. Despite creating opportunities for Malays and Bumis to purchase property, there's actually been a glut of such properties, with supply outstripping demand. Here to fix that problem is HartaBumi.my, a listings website and an app for Bumiputra properties, thereby creating a specific marketplace. I spoke to its CEO, Razi Tajuddin, and also lawyer, author and blogger, Khairul Anwar Shahruddin, about solving this backlog. Let's just have a quick overview again. What are Bumiputra lots? What's Malay reserve land? A lot of people seem to be confused as to what's what. Khairul, can you give a quick overview on this, basically?
Okay. When we talk about Malay reserve and Bumiputra lot, it's actually two different things. Okay, when we talk about Malay reserve, it's specifically for the Malays to buy and actually transact in it. And the Bumi lot is a much wider scope. When people want to buy Malay reserve, they must be specifically Malay. Other than that, nobody can transact in it. Okay, if the Bumiputra lot, there's a bit of leeway. Okay, sometimes it can change into a non-Bumi lot.
Right.
Okay, so the transfer of property is usually it's restricted by consent. Okay, this is something imposed by the state and allowed by the National Land Code. So that happened. The Bumiputra lot usually comes with Bumiputra quota that developer have to sell. Okay, when they buy the property, when they sell the property and they sold it to the public. Okay, they must be usually 30% of the whole development to be sold to the Bumiputra community. So on a sub-sale level, on the secondary level, the developer doesn't actually have any role to play in it anymore. So this secondary market transaction can happen between Bumi to non-Bumi. If it's allowed, okay, right. Sometimes it's not allowed, then you can appeal for it to happen.
When you say allowed or not allowed, who gives the authority for that then?
The state.
So it's the state as well?
But you file it at the land office level, right. And then it goes up to a higher level, which usually even come out to the ESCO of the state.
Now, okay. That only applies to Bumiputra lots, not to, if, let's say, Bumiputra bought a piece of property within that development that wasn't given a Bumiputra discount, that wouldn't come out as an issue in that sense then.
Again, I think it must be said that even though they take a discount or not, as long they are Bumiputra,
right.
It
okay.
became a Bumiputra.
Okay. So I guess so the underlying reasoning behind this is affirmative action, obviously.
Yes, and making sure this is still about affirmative action.
And making sure that there's, a mixed demographic within urban areas, that kind of thing. Yeah. And of course, for Malay reserve land, it can only ever be sold to Malays in perpetuity.
Yes.
So that can never change. It cannot alter the state of that property in that sense. Now, you mentioned that typically it's around 30% of the development would be devoted to Bumiputra lots. Does that change in allocation? Does it change in also in terms of discount from one state to the other? How is it determined normally?
It does change. Usually the discount amount is 7%. Okay, but that's not cast in stone anyway. Okay, it's usually given by the state to the local authority. The local authority will set it.
Right.
When they give the approval.
So in other words, you're saying within one state, it can also vary from one area to another.
Yes,
okay.
Correct.
What about properties in a development? And this is where you come in, I suppose, Razi, because your website basically advertises Bumiputra lots that are available to purchase now in developments. What is the typical, how shall I say, glut in development? You know, Bumiputra lots that are, you know, not sold yet. How long does it remain unsold post-launch, typically?
I'm glad you brought up about the issue of property overhang. If you look at the NAPIC recent statistic from last year alone, we have 11,360 unit worth 5.8 billion ringgit of property that already been completed, but after 6 months are yet to be sold. And you will be surprised if you want to know how much the exact number, the exact unit of Bumiputra status that are still remains unsold. They don't have the data. So It's a big irony, even though the government always push, always been always introduce affirmative action to help Bumiputera to own property, but yet they don't have this kind of statistic. So it's quite mind-boggling. So back to your question, you can easily say more than half the property overhang that I told you before is actually because of the Bumiputera status policy.
Right. When we come back, we're talking about whether there is a possibility of that being converted, and speaking to Razi Tajuddin, CEO of Hartabumi.mine, also Khairul Anwar Shahruddin, lawyer, author and blogger, about solving the backlog in the Bumiputera property market on The Property Show. It's Azura Rahman on The Property Show. Here with me, I have Razi Tajuddin, CEO of Hartabumi.mine, and also lawyer, author and blogger Khairul Anwar Shahruddin. And we're talking about solving the backlog in the Bumiputera property market. So earlier on, Razi, you were saying about 50% of, you know, this overhang is down to Bumiputera lots that's not being sold. And I'm sure that's very, very frustrating for many developers in that sense, to have this amount of backlog. What happens post 6 months? What happens post 1 year? Do these developers, you know, just looking from their perspective, have the option to actually convert this to non-Bumi status, or are they bound by the rulings of the local state government in terms of allocation of Bumiputera lots?
Yeah, it's not actually a Bumiputera developer dilemma, but it is an all developer dilemma when they cannot sell the Bumiputera unit. So you see, from the developer point of view, if they cannot sell the Bumiputera unit for their development, so it means that they will face a negative cash flow, right? So it is an open secret that all the developers, I can say most of the developers, always lobby to the state government to give some leeway about this ruling. But of course, if you are in a position of a government and you happen to be a pro-Bumiputera government, so you cannot simply remove this policy. So it's like a egg and chicken situation. The developers always wanted this kind of release mechanism become more easier so that we don't have a negative cash flow problem. But at the same time, government still want to retain this affirmative action because they want to increase the number of Bumiputera ownership.
So what happens ownership. Then? Does it become an Alibaba situation where you have a Bumiputera purchaser purchasing for a non-Bumi? What happens?
What happens is that they are actually a release mechanism. It differs from state to state. But if this problem cannot be resolved, it's not about negative cash flow for the developer. But most importantly is that it will become a social and political issue for everyone.
Right.
So whether we like it or not, we need to sell this Bumiputera status property.
Do you see, though, being the listings website that you are, that is it... the more expensive properties that's not being sold? Are there certain prices that's doing better with the Bumiputera community when it comes to Bumiputera lots? What's your findings?
Okay, actually this website, Hartabumi.mine, is just, I want to test my hypothesis since I already told you that there is no data on that. But I strongly believe when it comes to the property ownership, there are four main issues. First is about property price. That one is not up to us. Second is the purchasing power. Your income, still, it's not up to us. But we can address another two issues, which are first, the accessibility of the Bumiputera unit, and the last one is the education, the knowledge. So Hartabumi.mine was set up mainly to address these two issues. First, we wanted that, after this Bumiputera, they know they have a discounted price if they want to buy a property, so they can go to Hartabumi.mine and find a lot of new properties that comes with the 5 to 15% discount. And then also we educate them. We educate how to ensure their loan application will be successful, how do you maximize your investment with the lower entry cost. So these are the things that we wanted to test and to try to address this problem.
Also, at the same time, I'd like to find out, Razi, when it comes to educating your audience, what do you find normally lacking in terms of their gaps of knowledge when it comes to purchasing property?
Sorry to say, they simply refuse to read whatever be written. So sometimes...
There's no interest.
The interests are there. Mm. But I wonder why, even though I already make a very simple to understand article, But you see, all the comment, they ask the some silly question.
Very basic questions.
You know, recently the government has introduced a My Deposit scheme to help the first-time buyer. So I'm very surprised to read the comment and they ask, what is the My Deposit? Even though the article is to explain the right. policy.
I think my involvement with Harta Bumi also is actually to contribute short read article.
Yeah.
Okay, not long read. We try to actually use Bahasa Malaysia, simple Bahasa Malaysia, and actually our reach the younger generation. Actually, we use social media like Facebook, Twitter, and need to make things go viral and make them aware that and these things are actually unconventional way of educating.
So
sometimes
unconventional,
we provoke them.
Right, which is the best way to get, you know, clickbait, right?
Yes,
at the end of the day,
yeah.
right?
It may sound clickbaity, but
it
but
works.
Still, it works.
It works, especially with the younger generation.
Yes,
but of course, right. the only people that you're attracting is not just the younger generation. You're also
of
hoping
course.
To attract for those seasoned investors as
yeah.
well. You know, whether you realize it or not, of course, when you purchase Bumiputra property lots, you're 5% up, you're 10% up immediately from the point that you purchase a property,
yes,
right?
Correct.
And that's what a lot of people seem to kind of miss when you
yeah.
think about the discount.
Developer throws more into Bumiputra lot or even Malay Reserve lot, I would say that, when they develop these properties, because they know that it's harder to sell, so they give more. Sometimes the house that you get is actually already completed with you just they say basuh kaki and going
move in, right.
just move it.
You also list plots on Malay Reserve land on top of Bumiputra lots as well. Now, the thing is, Malay Reserve land, I think the stigma, I suppose, if I can use that word, that it suffers is that it lacks, in many of these Malay Reserve areas, it lacks development infrastructure even, you know. You mentioned Sungai Penchala. Yes, you know, it's been quite desirable, but it still lacks a school. It still lacks a lot of facilities that such an area should come with. Is this why it seems to be an unattractive buy for a lot of buyers, especially in the terms that they can't transfer it to a non-Malay person when they want to sell it on later on?
I would actually disagree that Sungai Pechala is unattractive, because the way that Sungai Pechala is built, there's one part of it which is called Pinggiran TTDI, which is just within the TTDI community, the Taman Tun. Okay, that's actually a big area which people are already buying and doing transaction, and the amount is actually more than what Sungai Pencala, people buying in Sungai Pencala is paying. Okay, so that's just one part of the thing. And if you are talking about Bumi lot, it actually became bigger. Okay, the area that you can buy and sell, there's so many other area. And so, I mean, you can see this development, which we call transit-oriented development. There's a lot of Bumi lot still being sold. And don't just look at the developer level. Look also into the secondary market.
Right. Of course, you've got some of the Malay Reserve lands in the Kiara, Mount Kiara area, which have done very well in terms of coming up with, how shall I say it, very premium properties. You've got, Gated and Guarded landed properties there. But what remains to see is the secondary market for such properties in terms of the transactions. Do we have an idea as to whether these properties are doing well on the secondary market or not? Or is it just a bit still too early to say?
As far as the Bumiputra status units are concerned, when we talk about the secondary market, I think that's why Harta Bumi wants to become a platform so that a Bumiputra buyer, they don't have a stigma or a perception that if they buy the Bumiputra property, Bumiputra settled property, they will find it very hard to sell it in the future. So with Harta Bumi, so they know, or I have a platform, let's say in 5 or 10 years' time, I want to sell my property. There are always Bumiputra looking for my property.
Right, so to create that market,
yes.
in that sense then. That's Razi Tajuddin, CEO of HartaBumi.my, with Khairul Anwar Shahruddin, lawyer, author and blogger. And we were talking about solving the backlog in the Bumiputra property market. If you've missed any bits of this interview, don't forget to download our podcast from www.bfm.my. It goes without saying that buying Malay Reserve land, for example, can be a limiting move, as you'll be ruling out non-Malay buyers should you decide to sell in the future. This means that those buying such properties tend to buy to live and retire in what's dubbed as their ultimate home. As with any real estate transactions, it's always best to do your research and consult experts to get a fully informed view. Anyway, if you are looking for a new place of your own, here's a property for you to consider. It's called Sifonia 2 in Cemara Hills, Seremban in Negeri Sembilan, developed by Syme Darby. 53 Superlink homes on freehold land with a built-up of 2,685 to 3,657 square feet with no prices just yet. That's it for this week on The Property Show. Join us again next week where we go through some of the most pertinent issues in the real estate market every Friday at 9:30 a.m. after the news.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.